Welcome to Well-ish.
What does it mean to be well-ish?
Rejecting the illusion that you have to be perfect to be enough.
Embracing the messy, the real, and the in-between.
Growth without obsession.
Self-care without guilt.
Improvement without the pressure to be flawless.
Because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about showing up as you are and knowing that's already enough.
This is Well-ish.
I've been thinking a lot lately about what it looks like to actually grow emotionally, and that it isn't this perfect image. And an old version of me would have viewed it that way. Like, she would have turned around and been like, okay, I've got to make sure that I'm ticking off all these boxes and showing up the right way in order to almost prove that I am this enlightened, heightened, ideal version of myself. And that is not always how it goes. Like, let me paint a picture for you in using what's happening in my life. So again, if you're new here, just ending my engagement unexpectedly. And I think when I first, like that first happened to me, I was in almost like shock. And so through that, I really was like doubling down on the wellness. Was like, I went, like when I first moved to my new place, I was like, I went on runs, and like, I was keeping up with my routines, and I was, you know, doing this whole like night moment, the sleeping cap and the eye mask and the mouth tape and like this whole moment. And then like, suddenly I entered this like exhaustion phase, and that's where I'm at now. And I want to say numb, not, but it sounds like that sounds so negative. Like, I don't mean numb in a bad way. I just mean like she's emotionally exhausted. And I say this only to say that it's not a bad thing to not fall into the perfect wellness category in any place in your life. Like, whether you're going through something or you're not going through something, you don't have to fit this mold of what the internet or self-improvement has taught us is the right thing to do in order to consider yourself well. And until you do those things, you cannot consider yourself well. And I think a lot of the time when we follow that narrative, it leads us to thinking that we're doing something wrong. Through that develops this tension that your emotional messiness is what's wrong with you, and you cannot compare to these leveled up people, like these people that have become enlightened, or these people that are their ideal versions of themselves, or these people that are living their best lives and they're wellness girlies and everything is wonderful. Like, you feel like you cannot compare to that person. And so you keep envisioning this ideal version of yourself in your head, but no matter how much work you put into yourself, you always fall short of that person that you're envisioning. For real, like if you take a step back and you think about the way that your mind perceives this stuff, do you think that everybody else is just handling life better? Like, they've mastered like the healed, grounded, they value themselves, confidence vibe that like you are plowing through trying to achieve. But at the end of the day, you're still just like freaking out inside of your own head. If that is you, I got you, boo-boo. We're going to get through it and we're going to make you feel a little bit better. One of the roadblocks that comes up in self-development is the comparison trap. Comparison shows up even in healing. And a lot of the time, I think we look at this through the perfect lens that we see on social media. That's a very real thing. I mean, we look at like people living their best lives and we're like, okay, I'm really trying to get to there. You go on Pinterest and you see these people that look perfect, like this perfect baddie bitch, knows her worth, gets it all done. She's incredible. Sex in the City vibe. Like, she can date, she can get out there, she can not let men impact her, she can not let, she's unbothered, you know, like all of the things that like they want you to be, they tell you should be, that you should snap back, you know, the whole vibe. And you just are left feeling like, why can everybody else do this? Like, why can I not get it the fuck together? I don't understand. But that also shows up in any sort of self-improvement that you do. Like, even if you're reading, like, I think of like Eckhart Tolle, okay? Like, people that are not like social media queens, like people that aren't this like perfect image that we see online, and just like genuinely enlightened people, educated people, intelligent people. And you think, okay, so I'm going to read this book and I'm going to hear what it tells me, and that stuff is going to resonate in my mind, and I'm going to now want to apply that stuff to my life. They figured it out, so of course I can figure it out. And then you can't, because it doesn't stay consistent, and you can't remember every little fucking detail that comes up in whatever it is you learned. And you can't apply every single detail that you learned in your everyday life forever until you die. And so then you think, okay, well, I suck. Like, I can't figure it out. I'm obviously not healed. I'm obviously not a confident person. I'm not a unbothered person. I'm not a detached person. You know, insert anything that you looked up and watched a video about or read a book about. You think that you're not in that space because you can't perfectly execute in the same way that that person described it. There's this quiet voice that says, if you could be more like any of these people, you would be further along. A lot of the time when we talk about comparison, it comes back to looks or success or material items. But it's like we're comparing ourselves to their emotional stability, and that brings on a special kind of spiral. Let me tell you this, you are not doing it wrong. You're still in it, and guess what? So are they. Everybody that you listen to, everybody that you see, it is only a snapshot of their reality. They are not going to show you their spiral. Take me for an example. Like, I can sit here and tell you all of this wellness stuff. You know, I am a very evolved person. I'm a very mentally strong person. I'm a very emotionally intelligent person. But I spiral. Like, I lay in bed at night and I cry. I freak out. I get wrapped up in my thoughts, but I don't sit on the podcast and show you that because that's not constructive to anybody. Like, that's the reason. Like, also, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of shit. You don't want to tell people your private stuff. You know, you don't want people to know about all of the ins and outs of the way that your mind works. If you told everybody your thoughts, they wouldn't be your thoughts anymore. So you keep it to yourself. And that applies to absolutely everybody, from the people that are super educated and intelligent and write these kick-ass books, to the people that are influencers on the internet, to the people that are psychologists and doctors. Like, everybody's got their shit. And they just, you don't see it all. You don't see every little tidbit of it. So you can listen to their advice, and you should listen to their advice because they know what they're talking about. But that they know what they're talking about because they experience it. There is such an illusion that because they're talking about it, it means that they've overcome it and they don't deal with the negative anymore. That is not true. That's not reality. Two things exist at the same time. You can understand and handle things a hell of a lot better, and you can always improve and build on your mental strength and your emotional intelligence so that you don't come from such an unhealed, bothered place. You get better at those things. Just like anything else, you get better at painting a picture, throwing a baseball, anything else. You get better at those things so you don't feel fully consumed by it, and you can move through it with awareness and intention. But it doesn't mean you don't move through it. You still experience those things. Because of that, I really want to paint a picture. Like, I really want to explain to you guys, show you guys what real, genuine emotional growth looks like. Not this ideal version, this perfect, pretty picture little version that, like, yeah, I'm this evolved queen. I'm this bitch that gets everything right. I am unbothered and I'm healthy and I value myself and I'm confident and I move with grace and elegance and get everything right. That's the goal. Like, we can work towards that goal. I'm working towards that goal. I want to be that. You can be that. This isn't to say that you can't be that. It's just to say that that's not what real emotional growth looks like. You be that, but you also experience feelings. You also experience the negative. So what does that look like? The first thing that I want to get through your head is it does not look graceful. It is still spiraling. You will still spiral, but it's catching yourself sooner rather than later. If I look back on myself and on my mind, I used to be in a space, in a headspace that just spiraled. Like that was all I did. I didn't allow myself the space to say, hey, I'm spiraling. I should stop. That wasn't a thing. My brain consistently existed in spiraling mode. Anything that I experienced, any hardship, any challenge, I spiraled on it. And that was the way my brain operated, was in a spiral, in rumination. Now I recognize when I spiral and I can stop myself from spiraling because I recognized it. It didn't go from point A to point B. I had to get through that. I had to first recognize it and build the habit of recognizing it and then try to distract myself in order to stop the spiral and do things to get through that. It was a practice, a years and years long practice. But now I can get to a point that I say to myself, I'm spiraling, and try to stop it because I recognize it for what it is. I recognize that my thoughts are not me. I recognize that it is my brain's way of trying to survive because she's problem solving in order to gain any sort of control that she can over a situation that is fully out of my control. But the spiraling doesn't help me. The spiraling doesn't make me feel good. So if I can recognize and get in front of it and stop it sooner rather than later, that's what emotional growth looks like. That's the real shit. Not doing it at all, because that's monk level. Like to not get to that at all, to not do that at all. I mean, let's think about what that would look like to not spiral at all. Okay. You would live in a fucking white box. Like you would live in a small room with bars. Like you would be in a straitjacket. Like not literally, but like the fact that like you would have nothing. Like you would have to live the cushiest, coziest, perfect little life and not experience anything out in the world that makes you think. Because anything that makes you think, which is anything in general, could lead to a spiral. The things you say to a friend, the experiences you have with your family, the things you experience with a romantic relationship, an interaction with your boss, an interaction you have with the barista at a bookstore. Like I will spiral about that. I will literally sit there and interact and like say like some weird, awkward thing. And as I'm walking to my table with my scone and my coffee, I'm like, ew, why did I say that? Why would I say it like this? And I repeat it in my head 19 times. And I'm like, you cringe little bitch, you know, but saying, okay, it's fine. You did everything fine. She's not even thinking about it. Let's move forward. It doesn't impact our life at all. And that's the point. Like you're still going to have the thoughts, but being able to stop them, recognize them and stop them. That's what it real emotional growth looks like. The second thing it looks like is still reacting, but being honest about that reaction later and dissecting why you had a visceral, feral reaction to whatever happened later. We want to, again, just like the spiraling, be able to build the skill of responding to our environment instead of reacting to it, but that takes practice. That is a habit. If you literally spend the day just for fun thinking to respond instead of react by pausing before you respond to anything, you will quickly recognize, like literally, I don't even do it for the full day. In the next half hour after you listen to this episode, anytime you interact with anybody, think how often you would have to pause to respond before you react in a conversation instead of just reacting. Like anytime you conversate, you're just like, bah, 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 going back and forth with this person because you're just that you've done it that way your whole existence ever since you learned how to talk. So it is a practice in order to get that way. So a lot of the time, we try to get better at that. And it is something you should put effort into if you are reacting poorly a lot of the time and in anger a lot of the time. But you typically do react and then say, hey, you know, I think maybe I could have handled that a little bit better. And you're honest about it. And that's the growth. It's the fact that you can look back and say, hey, I could have handled that better. That's what's important. Real emotional growth looks like trying to be calm and suddenly you're crying in Target because your entire life fell apart. Hi, that's me. Like you try to, you know, you're like, I can do this. It's fine. Everything is fine. And then like something triggers you and suddenly you're upset and that's okay. It is okay that kind of shit happens because you're a person that has feelings and is experiencing life. Emotional intelligence is not about doing it perfect. It's not about getting it right. It's not about being this picture perfect vision of what we think that we're supposed to be because that's what's been depicted in the media or in books or wherever the fuck we learned this. It's about being aware when we do things that don't make us feel good and redirecting it in order to do whatever it takes to make us feel better, to make us feel good again. The people you're comparing yourself to, they're not better. They're just different. And maybe they're not being honest about how hard it is. I mean, that's and I don't even mean that in like a dicky way. Like, I don't mean that in an aggressive, mean way. Like, most people aren't honest about that. Like, these are thoughts that we keep inside our heads. And people don't, especially like with the internet and any, honestly, anything with like books, any of that stuff. Honesty doesn't sell. You wouldn't buy shit from a person that's like, yeah, I do spiral and I do cry in the grocery store when things go wrong, you know, like because you buy from people that seem like you have it all together. You consume things from people that seem like they have it all together. So they can't show you that. You can't see that. And so really, you don't realize what all goes on in someone's head. Not even, let's take out like the shit we're consuming and think about just the people that we spend a lot of time with. People don't want to share that kind of stuff a lot of the time. It's not even because they don't want to share it with you. It's also that they don't even want to admit it to themselves. When people have a lot of stuff going on inside of their mind and they're so in the midst of dealing with whatever it is they're dealing with that they can't even come to terms with it themselves, why the hell would they share it with you? Even if they are the closest person to you, they don't want to admit it a lot of the time. So you don't realize how often every single person has these thoughts. The most confident person, you go into a bar, you see the most confident person, and she's like doing all the things and being all the things, and you think, God, why the hell can't I act like that? But the truth is, she's probably also at the same time thinking, oh, did I say the right thing? Oh, did I do the right thing? And then she goes, you know what? I don't care. Absolutely. I did the right thing because I was acting authentically and blah, blah, blah. You know, like she does what she maybe can catch herself sooner than you can. And that's the difference. But it's not in a means of comparison. It's just that we're different. We're all on this different learning curve. We all are experiencing different things and have been exposed to different things. So there isn't a perfect timeline for us all to learn this shit. You have to be able to incorporate it into your life in the way that best works for you. And the way that best works for you is going to be different than the way that best works for somebody else. You are not supposed to be like them. There is this fantasy of becoming someone else in order to reach this ideal version that you're picturing in your mind. If you could be this elevated you, that's when you'll be happy and you'll feel fulfilled and you'll be able to value yourself. The reality is your worth is not in the sameness. It's in the uniqueness. It's how cool you are because you experience things the way that you do. It's how different and special and dynamic and quality you are because you process life in the way that you individually process life. Are there things you could get better at? Sure, absolutely, there always is. Is there a line between people who behave mostly in the toxic and mostly in the well? Absolutely. Do we want to get to a space that's mostly well? Absolutely. But no matter what, try to flip the comparison. What are you doing well that other people wish they had? Because I guarantee you there is something. Even if you are someone who is mostly in the toxic, I can think of this for myself. I can think of toxic fucking people. Okay, I think of like, when I say that out loud, I think of when I was in high school and girls would like fight in the foyer of my high school and they would like get wild and they would like physically fight and like stand up for their shit and like what they believe in. And all I could think when that kind of stuff would happen was, God, that would never be me. Like, I'm not strong enough to do that. Like, I'm not bold enough to do that. I'm not wild enough to do that. And I would love to be those things. So like, even though you're not behaving right, even though you're not behaving in the picturesque, perfect way, there are still people out there who want to be like you. There are still people out there who want to have the courage that you have to be that wild. Now, is that not a great way to be? Like, would you be more peaceful? Would you be happier if you didn't act that way? Sure. But how fucking cool is it that like there are people out there that could still envy what it is you're doing because you have the courage to show up in that way? Even if it's not even coming from a place of courage, even if it's coming from a place of fear or whatever, but it's the fact that like people still compare themselves to you. So take that with the idea that like you're comparing yourselves to other people and you might be comparing yourself to something that they don't like about themselves. You know, you cannot compare. People always want what they don't have. You have to celebrate the version of emotional strength that looks like you. Like, what does emotional strength look like for you? Not your favorite influencer, not the person that you're reading a book about or whatever. Like, what does it look like for you? And the fact that emotional strength is dependent on what it looks like individually is not something that I think is talked about enough. Like, it is going to look different for every single person. Now, are there like specific things, like specific guidelines, like things that we could try to emulate and things that we could learn and general topics that we can try to improve upon? Absolutely. Should you listen to your favorite influencer who seems like she knows what she's talking about and that's who you want to become? Absolutely. Should you be reading the self-improvement books? Absolutely. Should you be listening to the podcast? Absolutely. Should you be watching the YouTube videos? Absolutely. Because the mission is to do anything that makes you feel good, that makes you feel inspired, that motivates you to be a better version of you, that motivates you to step into the ideal version of yourself that you want to become. That is what we should be doing. But it is not going to look exactly how somebody else has made it look. Your emotional intelligence, your mental strength comes individually with you. It is unique to you. What does that look like for you? Is it someone who is quiet? Is it someone who is thoughtful? Is it someone who is outspoken? Is it someone who is self-aware? Is it someone who stands their ground? What does it look like for you? And knowing that that doesn't mean you have to be that every second of every single day until the day you die. You can be that and still be messy. Like, you can do that and still get things wrong. That doesn't make you less emotionally strong. You just continue to work to build that emotional strength. The goal is to feel good more of the time than not. I think for me, this comes up when I see people that seem to have it all figured out. Like, if I look up anybody and they seem to have like this fun, fulfilling life, like they're going to things, they're at games, they're at dinners, they're at parties, they're traveling, like they seem to have like this full, quality, fun, exciting, adventurous life. And so I can't help but compare myself to them. And suddenly I'm like rapid ChatGPTing, like, what is my life supposed to look like? Like, well, I don't want to have just this normal, mundane, everyday life. Like, I don't want to, you know, like, I feel like I don't need to like do anything. Like, I don't need to be Kim K, for the love of God, but like, I just want to enjoy my life. So like, what do I need to do in order to enjoy my life? Like, what does it even look like? What should my day-to-day be? Like, explain this to me more. And I get stuck in that sort of high spiral. But being able to catch that and appreciate what's happening and say like, okay, I can take these nuggets of what I'm wanting from life and appreciate that. But then saying, okay, let's come back to my own timeline. Like, I am going to trust the process. I do not want to live in this rigid take action mentality that I think I have been doing for a very long time. Like, it's this toxic self-help vibe that I think, like, you got to take action. You know what I mean? And like, that is true, but I just want to go with the flow, man. Like, I don't want to like be doing all of this stuff all of the time. Like, I just want to enjoy my life for what it is and allow me to make decisions when I make the decisions and trust that like when I feel like doing something, I will do it. And when I feel like making change, I will. And when things come up for me, I will jump on those opportunities. And when life happens, I will make choices in how I react to the things changing in my life and know that that is action. I allow my energy to be more in a space of acceptance and surrender and openness because it genuinely makes me feel better and feel more like myself to be in that space. Does it make those feelings of I'm not doing enough and overachiever and all of this stuff like go away? No, but it's helpful. And I hope to continue to build on that and trust in that. And I hope that I can learn through example that I don't have to do crazy shit in order to enjoy my life. This week, I want you to name your version of emotional strength. What does that look like for you? Is it softness? Maybe it's introspection. Maybe it's being honest about not having it all together. Maybe it's your bravery. Maybe it's your strength. Maybe it's your ability to feel things so deeply that you have such a big heart that you have the capacity for that. Don't look at everything else to give you direction on defining what your emotional strength is. Look inward. What is it that you experience a lot of the time? What emotion do you feel a lot of the time? What thoughts do you have a lot of the time? And how does that link to what your individual, unique emotional strength is? Let me assure you that you are not doing anything wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. You are just becoming in your own way. You're not supposed to be like them. You're not supposed to be like anybody that isn't you, and you don't have to be in order to feel good. Emotional strength isn't about perfection. It's not about getting it right. It's about persistence and consistency. It's about recognizing where you can be more diligent and where you feel really proud of yourself. If you feel a little inspired, if you feel like, oh my God, like this totally resonated with me, you can journal about it. You can ask yourself, what does emotional strength look for me right now? Where am I growing, even if it's messy, even if it's not perfect? Take a deep breath. You got it under control. The fact that you're here and you're listening and you're improving and you're trying speaks volumes. You got it under control. Have a little bit of faith in yourself because I have full faith in you. If anything in today's episode resonated with you, please share the show with a friend. And for the love of God, rate and review the show. I really appreciate it. Some of you guys have been rating and reviewing lately, and I need it. I appreciate it. It really helps the show keep going and show me what you guys want to hear more about. So keep it up. I really appreciate it. But if you haven't done it yet, get on it. What are you doing? What are you even doing with yourself and your life? You should be doing that. It takes 2 seconds, for the love of God. If you want a closer view on my daily lifestyle, make sure to follow my Instagram at sarah.rittendale, and any sort of show updates or any other daily self-improvement, you can follow me on Instagram and on TikTok at Wellish Podcast. At this current stage in my life, she's doing good. She's doing all right. But you guys really do give me a reason to smile and feel excited for something and to get up and shower. So I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. And I'm so excited to talk to you guys next week. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys.